Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Nick here with you on this Monday morning. And we welcome in our good friend Darren McFarlane, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Also handles the pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren? What's going on? How are we doing?
Oh, guys, it's good. It's good to be in this market. There's a lot going on. What are you talking about? We should be pumped. I mean, we got the biggest college baseball matchup in the entire country. This entire season will be in our backyard this weekend. We've got Will Smith Gate. We've got the Lions on Hard Knocks, which is the greatest show ever, although I think the in-season thing is going to be better moving forward. I think in-season is now the first go-around, early signing period. And, you know, it's basically the one in February is kind of faded away. It's not a big deal anymore. That's kind of what the training camp Hard Knocks will be. The in-season Hard Knocks is going to be like the early signing period when it comes to recruiting. Preds get a win. I mean, looks like A.J. Brown's on the move to the Jets. I mean, there's a lot going on, man. Ooh, we are pumped.
It's a big day here on the program.
Big
1
day.
To 10, how would you rate Will Smith's follow-through on his slap for Chris Rock? I'm giving him a solid 8.
I give him a 10. What are you talking about? I thought he was going to knock Chris Rock out.
That's why I give Chris Rock a 10.
Oh, yeah. That was a slap. That was not wrestling. I'm sorry. That was not Jerry Lawler, okay?
So you're not, your team real. Like your team, you believe the whole thing's real.
That was not on David Letterman. I believe so. I mean, I've gone back and watched it over. Obviously, by the time I got home last night from the Preds game, you know, I'm excited. Yeah, just, you know, after the game, you guys, you know, you've done there. You've been there. You've done it. You get – your juices are flowing. It's like you can't – you're not even close to being tired. And all I get home – and it's like Chris Rock and Will Smith mania. I'm like, what in the world did I miss? And, of course, I've gone back and watched it a bunch. And, yeah, I think it's real. Like, well, you watch Chris Rock, and then after that, he kind of like – he's done.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's done. Like, that's – that was not State. That was not Kaufman, Lawler, David Letterman, in my opinion. Do you guys disagree?
No, I'm 100% with you.
It's funny you brought up Lawler because someone on the text line this morning brought up, Kaufman and Lawler. Like, yeah, no, this is not that. That was great, but this is not that.
This is not.
Yeah, Chris Rock did not have the neck brace on, so I guess it would have been Will Smith, right? That had the neck. So yeah I mean. No, I thought it was real. It's like, well, like, dude, it's a G.I. Jane. I'm with Chris Rock. It's a G.I. Jane. And I get it, the whole storyline by her and what's going on with her. Like, I've done my homework on this subject matter because I don't pay that close of attention to Hollywood. So I get it. He's defending his wife, and, you know, there's a reason why she hasn't grown hair because of her condition. But, dude, he's a comedian. Will Smith, how many of these shows have you attended over the years? Yeah. Like, comedians take shots at everybody in the crowd. Like, this is not something new. So, anyway.
Yeah, it was quite something. Memorable night, that's for sure. So, Darren, memorable night for the Predators as well for Tanner Jeannot. 1 goal, 2 assists, the Gordie Howe hat trick for Jeannot, fresh off a newborn baby and his family as well. What did you think of his performance? What did you think of that win last night for the Predators, 5-4 against Philly?
Had to have been the longest plane ride ever coming home Thursday night. You get the tailwinds. It's probably, a 3.5-hour flight? But not knowing if you're going to make it, you know, or just the anticipation, even if you know you're going to make it, and just the anticipation for the first one, you know, it was pretty cool. Obviously, he made it in time. And congratulations to Tanner and his wife, Keely, and their newborn, their son, Jace. And we've seen it all too many times. I mean, one, we've seen the locker room since the Stanley Cup run grow. There's been a lot of new – I talked about this with Colton. I was like, Colton, you've seen a lot of additions to families since the Stanley Cup run. And he laughed. And I was like, you've also seen Dad go out there and have a big game after, you know, a newborn comes in, after there's been an addition to the family. And so add Tanner Jeannot to that list, goes out with the Gordie Howe hat trick, and boy – was that not a heavyweight fight or what? Those were two big boys. I think Will Smith played Muhammad Ali. That was a heavyweight fight last night between Hudson and Jeannot. Holy cow. If I was a ref, I would not have jumped in between those two. I would have waited till they hit the ice.
No doubt, yeah. And we were saying earlier, maybe the timing, you hope a guy's tired because he just had a newborn, so maybe you have a little bit of – other than that, I would not – I would not advise anyone to get in the ring with Janelle, but
and when are people gonna stop fighting him, Joe? I mean,
good question.
You know, like it's not he's not a surprise anymore.
Not at all. Okay, here's a segue. What is a little bit surprising to me lately?
Nicely done.
Is UC Saros? What's the fair concern level with him at this point?
Well, look, it's kind of like anything when it comes to an 82-game season. I think the pace he was on, have goalies been able to sustain that for an entire season? Yes. But here's also a guy that is not getting much of a rest. He's not getting much of a break. David Rittich is not playing much, and I get it. That is a goaltender's mentality, especially the number one. Pekka certainly had that mentality, and a lot of the greats in the game, they don't want to take a night off. And, oh, by the way, when he does take a night off, he's pretty damn good. He's undefeated when he comes back after a game off. I just think, Joe, to me, it's a fair question, but I just think the level he was playing was probably not sustainable, even though we all believe that UC Saros is up there at the top of the league, is one of the best goaltenders in the league. I just think, you know, we talk about players going through patches. You know, I just think maybe he's going through a little of a patch. Has he looked incredibly sharp over the last week and a half? I think we all know the answer to that. They have not been particularly good on the road. Their starts have been awful on the road, going all the way back to the first meeting with Philadelphia a week and a half ago. I mean, the first periods have just not been – I mean, John Hines, I can't imagine what, you know, his mood after first periods on these road games. They just – well, in the first period last night, they've got to get off to better starts. He hasn't been as sharp as in saving their bacon all the time. But I would also say they've sustained a lot of injuries with the blue liners, and let's just say the play in front hasn't exactly been great either. Too many turnovers. Too sloppy with the puck.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. Darren McFarland on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. How big was that for Luke Cunnan last night to see one find the back of the net? I mean, obviously it's been a struggle for him as of late offensively. Great sequence by Granlund there. First off, his pass on Trennan's goal was ridiculous. And then finds Luke Cunnan in the slot there. How big do you think that could be for number 11 to maybe get rolling a little bit offensively?
Well, I think anything, you know, he'll take anything right now. And certainly a goal. I mean, what has it been? I don't even know. Was it been like 20 games or something since the last time he had a goal? I don't know how long it's been since Cunnan said a goal. Probably not that long. But it feels like that, and probably feels like that to him. There's no doubt they needed to get that line going. And that line had a good night last night. By the way, the Granlund pass up and over to Trennan on the back door. Whew, nice. By the way, there's a whole lot of good that has to happen to make that whole sequence work. It's not just the pass. I mean, there's a whole – Granlund gets a lot of the credit, but, you know, Trennan also has to finish that. And that is not an easy play at all. Oh, by the way, going full speed too, you know. So, great play there. But, yeah, I mean, kind of need that. The second line, look, still needs to keep things going. It's been lacking. We know the top line has been producing. The third line has been producing night in and night out. And, heck, it depends on the game. The fourth line certainly hasn't been afraid to chip in with some, you know, some points as well. And so they've got to keep it going. They need production from the second line. And I know we've had that talk enough over the years. And so – yeah, I think Cunnan, and we've seen it, sometimes it just takes something like that to get a guy going. Obviously, he had the fight, too, last night. Maybe this is him kind of turning the corner and maybe finishing strong. And, look, if you finish strong, nobody remembers the stuff before, right? That's all that matters. So we'll just see how these final – well, they have 15 games left. See how these 15 games play out, and we'll see if Cunnan can maybe get on a roll. They need it. This is going to be tight, boys. This is going to be tight the rest of the way.
Yeah,
not gonna be easy.
No question. So, Darren, I was a little bit angry and jealous on Friday when our show ended, and that's when AJ Brown decided to tweet at D-Mace about the whole tweet about Mariota and so on and so forth. We played D-Mace's comments earlier, but I'm just wondering your final takeaway from the entire episode.
Well, we obviously discussed it a lot on Friday, and I mean, I'm with D-Mace. I just am. And do I think this is something crazy over the top? No, but one, it goes to show you, and I've been doing enough shows with Derek Mason over the years, lots of shows, and this is not the first Titans player that has reached out to him social media-wise, podcast-wise, privately. I mean, Derek Mason, early on in Taylor Lewan's career, took him to task as well, and he deserved it. And Taylor Lewan, just like A.J. Brown, in a respectful way, you know, came back at Derek and acknowledged that he, you know, he was aware of what he had said about him. I think what it goes to show you is D-Mace has got a lot of respect around the league, and in particular in this market with the Titans. Look, and you should respect him. When he's played it, he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know if he'll get in. He deserves to be in. He played, what, 16 seasons in the NFL? If you last that long and play at that level, you better have everybody's respect. And I just think for me, where I stand is Derek wasn't attacking A.J. Brown. Derek isn't like that. Derek isn't looking to try to, you know, shock jock. He's not looking for attention. Derek's just speaking from, you know, he's just trying to tell the truth. He's just trying to speak from within and how he feels about something. I think he literally was trying to help A.J. Brown. And look, sometimes just words, as you guys know, you've talked about social media, text and tweets, better be careful because you can't always tell the context of them. And just using best, and what if he would have used one of the best? See how that changes everything? One of the best leaders I've ever been around? See how that changes everything? But when you say best leader I've ever been around, it's a pretty strong statement. And you know when you say that, the person that you're working with currently is probably going, huh, he may not say anything to you, but you don't think Ryan Tannehill's like, oh, wow, okay. So I think Derek was just trying to help him. I appreciate that A.J. Brown came back in a very, very respectful manner, and I hope that those two get to talk a little bit more on this subject matter because Derek truly is trying to help guys, especially a receiver. He is. He's not looking for attention. He's not looking for everybody to talk about this. He's not looking for to be shock jock. He's truly looking to help, and I think that's what he was trying to do with A.J.
Darren McFarland, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. You can catch him every weekday on Darren Donica Chase from 10 to 2. Darren, appreciate you, brother. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
Enjoyed it as always.
Absolutely. Darren McFarland, our guest. We'll come back. We'll react to what Darren had to say. Take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Are you concerned with the way that UC Saros has played as of late? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Right back out. Here's Carrier at the blue line. Off to his left. Yossi in front for the redirect. And the Predators take a 5-4 lead. Tanner Jeannot. Well, he celebrates being a dad with a Gordie Howe hat trick.
Oh, that's the way to do it. What a play that was.
Big 2 points last night for the Predators. They went 5-4 against Philadelphia. They were down 2-0 in the game, down 3-1 in the game as well. Come back to win 5-4. Late goal by Tanner Jeannot in the third period. One goal, two assists from Jeannot. Roman Josi with two assists on the night. Jakob Trinen with two goals on the night as well. And the Predators skate away with a 5-4 win. And that puts them at the moment in third place in the Central. 80 points. They're four back of the Wild. The Wild have two in hand on them. They're one ahead of the Blues, who also have two games in hand on them as well. And 4 points clear of Vegas, and the Predators have two games in hand on Vegas. So, as Darren pointed out in the last segment, going to be a fight coming down the stretch for the Predators. A big opportunity this week. You've got Ottawa coming in tomorrow, and then going on the road to Buffalo on Friday. So, two teams in the East. Ottawa is 23-36-6 on the year. Buffalo is 23-33-10. So, two teams that you should beat this week. Really, to me, not much excuse for losing either one of those games. We see it happen all the time in the NHL, though, so we'll see if the Predators can take advantage of that. An opportunity, though, after last week did not go how you wanted it to go out west, this is a chance to collect some points this week if you're the Predators.
Yeah, I mean, the schedule is going to get, obviously, more. I mean, it can't not get more difficult, you know, from here, but you think about those three games out of four that you're playing, you know, mixing with a huge one, of course, against Minnesota at home next Tuesday. Then you got a lot of, you know, then you go into, you know, you got Florida, and you got to go to Pittsburgh. You got Calgary twice, another Minnesota. And there's a lot of tough games in the April schedule. So it's going to be very challenging. You're at Tampa Bay, by the way. I mean, there aren't many gimmies left. So, yeah, get those 4 points. Get the two at Buffalo after, you know, some extra time again to rest, because then it really is. I guess there's 3 days in between that one, and then it's like either every other day or you got three back to backs coming up in April. So it's all the time and a lot of good teams on the schedule after that.
So the Preds get the win last night, which obviously is the most important thing. It was kind of a rough one for Saros yesterday against Philadelphia. Gives up 4 goals. At one point, he'd given up 3 goals on 5 shots in that game. And this is now 6 of the past 7 starts for UC Saros where he's given up 3 goals or more. He's got an .889 save percentage during that stretch as well. So we talked about this earlier, and Darren pointed this out. I mean, there are a lot of things that happen when it comes to a goaltender, and if he's playing really well, a lot of times that means the defenders in front of him are playing really well. And when he's not playing well, a lot of times that means the defenders in front of him are not playing well either. So I get that. I recognize that. I also think, like, especially around here with the quality of goaltending that the Predators have had for basically their entire franchise, like, sometimes we just don't criticize the goalie, and I don't fall into that. Like, I don't think Saros is playing very well right now, and I think he's got to be better. And I will say, I mean, I'm concerned right now with the way that he's playing. .889 save percentage in his last 7 starts. If this is the way he's playing coming down the stretch, you might make the playoffs. You're not doing anything in the playoffs if he plays this way. I think he can bounce back and get out of it just based on the way that he's played throughout his career. But this is not a good stretch right now for Saros, albeit the defense and the injuries that they've sustained, particularly on the back end. I recognize that that's not helping at the moment.
Yeah, look, part of the assumption, I think, for this team doing anything is that he's great.
Yeah.
Is there really a way for this team, as constructed, to do anything in a postseason without him being great? Hard to imagine. Anything's possible. Sports are unpredictable. We just saw St. Peter's get to the Elite Eight. But he's going to have to be way better than this in the postseason. And he has been way better than this for the most part, for the better part of the last 2 seasons. So that's I agree with Darren. You know, I think Darren's like, hey, you know, you're going to have ups and downs in a season, no doubt about it. But yeah, to look at this recent stretch and put it all on everybody else is not, I don't think, is accurate. And you mentioned earlier the goals above expected, which for the most part, he has been at the top or very near the top of the league for long stretches in that. A stat which I find a lot of value in that stat, and it's not good there either. So it's not just, you know, it's all screenshots and just terrible defense. I mean, there are some pucks that are getting past him that normally don't get past him.
Yeah, I mean, and last night it looked like he was having some trouble picking up the puck too, which when he's on, I mean, his vision is right up there with anybody in the league. So, look, I think he'll get out of it, but they need him to get out of it quick. Like, this is an opportunity this week for him to get out of it. And you know, I heard from some people last night on Twitter, like, just sit him down for this week, get him rested, have Riddick in there against Ottawa and Buffalo. Like, I hear you. It's not the worst idea, but that's a dangerous game to play when you start to look at your opponent and say, oh yeah, we'll just throw the backup goalie in there for this game.
Well, and if you did that, rest is good, but if you did that, then Saros would be going 9 days.
That's too much.
You don't want that much.
No.
Yeah, no. I mean, this is our... I mean, it's probably a timely break here that they get this break before playing Friday at Buffalo.
Now, would
I
be surprised?
That's plenty.
Like, if they went Riddick tomorrow against Ottawa, would I be shocked by that? Probably not. I don't think I would expect that at this point. But you're talking getting a break from Sunday to Friday? I don't know that that would be the worst thing for Saros, but my guess would be Saros would be back in
tomorrow. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, 3 days, not 5 days. My bad. They play Ottawa twice here coming up.
Right.
So they've got Ottawa, I mean, of the next 4 games, three of the next 4 are, you got to get those 6 points. And if you get those 6 points, the Minnesota game, well, that's still big. I mean, regardless, the Minnesota game is big, but you got gimme points that are coming up that are gone on the schedule from then on.
Well, you got to take advantage of them. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam from Portland texting in says, at this point in the season, I think we're past the point where we're figuring out who this team is. We know exactly who they are. Very gritty. They don't quit. They execute well on offense, but also give up a ton of scoring chances. We just aren't as good defensively as we have been in previous seasons. It doesn't mean they suck. Just means they aren't as good. We also don't have a 6'5 goaltender getting beaten over his blocker. Our goalie is very good, but he's also short and not perfect. I still expect nice things in the playoffs. I think people make way too much of the getting beat over the blocker stuff. Like, does Saros get beat up top? Yes, he does. Every goalie in the league gets beat up top. Like, there's not a goalie in the league where teams aren't trying to lift the puck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, now, obviously,
is he more susceptible? Maybe. But his athleticism makes up for a lot.
Yeah. I mean, teams value size at that position.
Sure.
But he does some other things laterally that 6'5 guys can't do. So, overall, you're going to take what he's given you. If that's, you know, if you can have that for an extended period, you're happy with that as your starting goaltender.
Roman Josi, 2 assists last night, now at 81 points on the season. He is 4 away from the single season record of 85 for Paul Kariya. So it looks like he could pass that against Ottawa, I guess. If he had a 5-point night, he could at least tie it. We've seen a few 4-pointers from Roman Josi this year, but I would not be surprised if by this time next week we are talking about a single season franchise record for points with Roman Josi.
Yep, and he's still well on pace for that 100.
Yep.
Is he making progress in the Norris, in the minds of the Norris voters?
I hope so. Although Cale Makar, I mean, just keeps scoring goals left and right too. So he's up to like 24 goals now.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. Mike from Montana texting in says, "What is the ceiling for this Preds team?" This is coming from Mike from Montana on the text line. Joe, what do you think the ceiling is for this Preds group?
Well, again, Montreal, there's not a single soul in the world who follows hockey who would have answered that question about the Canadiens. Oh, the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
Not a soul. I mean, you find me Canadian Cal, you know, up in the head of Canadiens Twitter, okay, would have laughed at someone saying that. So it's just what the sport is. I mean, if you can get into the playoffs and you have a goalie who can get on the roles that Saros can get on, then you can make a run. So,
sure.
Do I expect that? No. I don't expect a deep run from this team, but it's not a non-starter. Not in this sport, not in that tournament.
Especially with Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchene,
yeah,
and Roman Josi playing the way that they played all year. Like, I mean, they're playing at the level and they have been all year where if they play that way in the playoffs, you could steal a series with that and goaltending. Like, it just, you feel totally different about the offensive part of it. I mean, they're top 10 in the NHL in scoring right now. You feel totally different about the offensive part of it, the power play part of it more than anything, than you did heading in the playoffs any time in recent memory.
Yeah, the power play is lethal. And, you know, Darren was talking about Luke Cunning. You know, what if you can get a guy like that going? You've got Trenin going right now. You got Janot. I mean, you've got some answers here if you play a disciplined, smart game, which at times lately has eluded them.
We've got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line on the Predators, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game.
Exchange position almost there with Forsberg straight away. Carey a shot to score. Plenty of traffic in front. Oh, do you like Frosties? Do you like cheeseburgers? All in one shot. It's 4-3 Nashville.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things when you go in those situations is where you make sure that you're like your toughness and your identity doesn't wane. That, you know, we had two bad games. We didn't play well in LA and we didn't play well in Vegas. And I think the scores were indicative of how we played. But it's also important to make sure that when you come back that, you know, tonight was more about the process. Like, we had to get back to an identity that gives us a chance to play. We got to get back to a work ethic and a style of play that we're proud of in the room, that the guys are proud of how they're working and what we're doing on the ice. And when you do that, the results will follow. And it wasn't so much that this is a must-win game. This is a must-get-back-to-identity game. And we got to leave the rink tonight, regardless of the end result, feeling good about how we're working, how we're playing, how we're contributing, what our identity is, getting our culture back on track. and tonight I thought the guys played a real solid game. I thought we deserved to win the game, and it's nice to see that we did it.
That was John Hines after the game last night, a 5-4 win for the Nashville Predators. Back to their identity in that game, according to John Hines. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ryan in Nashville texting in says, if you remember when you guys were talking about the Preds before the season started, I said Trennan would be between a 15 and 20 goal scorer this year. He's now three away from 20. 17 for Trennan on the year. A couple of big ones last night as well.
I don't remember that called shot, but I'll believe you. Yeah, we'll believe you.
He's been good.
Yeah.
That whole line, and we talked about it earlier. Look, that whole line has been good, and they are three good individual players. I do think Tanner Jeannot he's kind of the guy that makes them go. Like, Sissons is great. He does so many little things. You know, Trennan has that physicality, that goal-scoring touch. When they don't have Jeannot in there, they just look different. And Jeannot was in there again last night. One goal, two assists. Gordie Howe hat trick. Pretty good stuff from number 84. Like, he's becoming – I'm not saying he's becoming a superstar because he's not. He's becoming very quickly, I think, a fan favorite here in Nashville.
Oh, no doubt.
The way he plays the game.
Again, to me, he's the new Arvidsson, totally different player, but the new Arvidsson in terms of he's the guy, okay, watch him when he's out on his shift. You tell your kids, you know. Like, he's going to do something here that's worth watching. It's different stuff than Arvidsson did. But it's the same, to me, same kind of feel. And, like, just the passion and the relentlessness of the player is a big part of that, too. And when you talk about identity for this team, Tanner Jeannot kind of sets that, which is crazy because a year ago it was like, oh, Olivier is hurt, and who's this guy?
He's Tanner Jeannot.
Bringing up some big dude just to see if he can try to do what Olivier's been doing. And
yeah.
How'd that turn out?
Worked out pretty well. 22 goals on the season now for Tanner Jeannot. And look, I mean, honestly, I've not noticed Johansson, Forsberg, Duchesne all that much as of late in the last few games. You know, Forsberg scores last night, but they got to get back to being dynamic offensively. We talked last week about Luke Cunningham and how much he's been struggling. It was nice to see one go in for him last night. You know, maybe that can get him rolling a little bit offensively here as well. But Granlund, I thought Granlund was their best forward last night. He was awesome. He was all over the place. You know, a couple of assists in that game, including the one to Trennan, which was just ridiculous. But that was kind of like a I'm going to drag my line along with me if I have to game for Mikael Granlund last night. He was really, really good.
Yeah, and they can use that too. You know, Granlund's been solid to really good all year, so it's not like, and of course, you know, things look a little different if you're Granlund with Forsberg Duchesne or Granlund without Forsberg Duchesne, but no, he made some huge plays last night. So, I mean, they've got a lot of, that's the thing, like when people ask about the ceiling, again, kind of going back to the point, you know, you'd rather frankly, like your team be faltering because they're making mistakes, or they're not, again, like John Hines says all the time, not playing to the identity, you know, playing outside themselves, being out of character, then they just don't have the guys to do it. Because yep. This team has the guys to do quite a bit in the spring if it all came together, if it both things meshed.
Yep. So we'll see on that front. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, the much-anticipated NFL draft mock draft at The Athletic is out. You've been working on this for some time. Not only just you, but writers at The Athletic working on this from some time. The quarterbacks are interesting to me with the way the quarterback draft is shaking out at The Athletic. I will go on and say, without giving too much away, if it shakes out where one quarterback is taken in the first round, I will be shocked. That's just me. I know that some people have, you know, we talked last week, Kuiper didn't have a quarterback being selected until 18th overall. Some people have a quarterback being selected number two overall. It's all over the map when it comes to the quarterbacks in this draft. But the writers at The Athletic, one guy in the first round. How about that?
Yeah, I don't buy that. I just don't buy that that's how it's going to work out. I mean, you have rationale for all these picks. And by the way, Dane Brugler did not like my pick. So in this draft, we have Dane Brugler weighing in on our picks, and he does not like my pick. Whatever, Dane. I don't care. There you go.
Yeah.
But with the Titans, and I'm thinking receiver, there are a lot of possibilities. All right. Well, let me ask you this. From what you know of Christian Watson and Jahan Dotson, who would you take?
Probably Dotson.
Okay. Well, fine. Then you and Dane can just whatever. Go read the beast.
Mark Howard has talked you into this, hadn't he?
Mark Howard did text me about Christian Watson. I was like, you know what? That's a good call. Christian Watson is an intriguing player. I do not agree that Christian Watson is like Josh Reynolds.
Is that what Brugler said? Oh, boy. Hey, Detroit Lions number one receiver.
Yeah, and that's fine. To Christian Watson, again, look, I'm not going to lie and tell you that I've seen a lot of North Dakota State film, okay? But his reputation is as a very willing and effective blocker. That's not Josh Reynolds.
That is true.
We just don't talk enough about receivers and blocking. I think on this program, we're the only program that's going to be honest with you about how important it is for receivers to block.
Yeah.
I love D-Mace gets all fired up about that, man.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of, we've talked about D-Mace a lot today. D-Mace just laughs at that stuff. And my whole thing is, obviously, no one's getting a job at receiver in the NFL.
D-Mace and I are of similar mind.
Yeah, well, but no one's getting a job. You're not even going to be in the mix as our NFL receiver. It's about, it's about running routes, about catching the ball, obviously.
Yeah.
But this offense does rely on receivers blocking. Maybe I firmly believe that Josh Reynolds not being a good blocker is part of why Josh Reynolds is restoring the roar now.
I mean, I hear you, but like eventually, don't you just have to say, hey, why don't you go run some routes and catch the football, which he did immediately when going to Detroit.
Yes. Yeah, look, had he not been hurt, then it might have been different. But, I mean,
especially when the Titans are trotting out Nick Westbrook-Akina and Des Fitzpatrick at the end of the year.
Well, I was just going to say, though, you can love it or hate it, take it or leave it, but I think Nick Westbrook-Akina was ahead of him because of that largely.
Yeah.
So, rip on it, that's fine. I didn't think Reynolds looked all that effective as a pass catcher other than like in the Jets game when he was the de facto number one receiver that day. But part of the equation here.
He certainly took a step in that game from the Arena Football League running start that he got in Seattle.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
That's right. Yeah, he's trying to bring like a new era of football, offensive football, the NFL when they were in Seattle. But hey, look, I always thought he was a good player with the Rams, and now he looks like a good player with the Lions. So, for various reasons, he did not look like that here. But I think Christian Watson would fit here better than Josh Reynolds.
Are you convinced that Malik Willis is going to be the first quarterback taken in the draft? Has he vaulted up that much where it's not even a discussion anymore?
It seems that way, but this is also the time of year. As someone has pointed out, I think someone on the show last week pointed out, there are mock drafts that are just, people taking their guess. Oh, this team needs this. Great. And there are mock drafts that have a lot of information in them. But the key there is there are a lot of teams that like to put out misinformation right now. So there could be a team that is absolutely resolved to take Kenny Pickett. And just because the Lions may be all about baby hands, They may be all in. They've got tiny little utensils they've already bought for the facility, little gloves, little doll gloves.
Miniature footballs that they throw out to the fans.
That's right. But they're not going to tell anybody. And, Kenny Pickett. So right now there seems to be that feeling like Malik Willis, he has a very high ceiling as a player. But I'm not shocked if one of these other guys goes way higher than anybody's guessing, because that team just isn't putting out information or is putting out bad information on purpose. Happens every year.
I got a texture that says Corey Davis was an all right receiver, but man, could that guy really block down the field? He could. Corey Davis could block.
He could.
Still can.
It matters. Football is blocking and tackling. It's running, throwing, catching. It's also blocking and tackling. It's always going to be. Care what you guys say.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Every day is a day here on Robbie and Rex Road. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit Little Guys Franchise Hillsidemedical.com. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Oh, a quote coming out this morning from Andy Reid. It says, quote, "I do what I love to do. I'm not sure what I would do if I didn't do this. I'd probably be a reporter." It's coming from Andy Reid.
Wow.
Andy Reid.
Did you see his outfit? Did you see his outfit?
I did not.
Rocking a Hawaiian t-shirt with like this necklace thing.
I bet he is.
Nice. Nice.
Andy Reid seems like a likable guy. He talks about football and cheeseburgers. There's the only two things he ever talks about.
I could see Andy Reid trying to elbow me out of the way at a media buffet. See that? And me winning.
Yeah, nice box out.
Yeah, maybe a slap. No, I don't. Glennon is ripping my pick, too. Glennon's ripping.
People not a fan of your pick.
That's fine. You know what? Christian Watson has become my Rondale Moore of this draft. I am now the biggest Christian Watson stan. I hope he goes in the top 15, and I will taunt everyone.
What are people's problems with Christian Watson? I'm now seeing this piece that you've put together that Brugler says he's raw with his route running. So, but he also says he could sneak into the first round.
No mention of his blocking. No mention. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think he's a fringe first round pick, which is where the Titans are picking.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just honestly with Jahan. Maybe I have like KJ Hamler hangover because I was so sure that KJ Hamler was going to be great.
Yeah.
But it's not fair just because Jahan Dotson also went to Penn State. But if you are picking, let's say it, like if the Titans were to take Jahan Dotson, now again, you're talking about a 5'11, 180-pound guy. Like that's a slot guy.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, for the most part, that's what he's going to be in the NFL. Now maybe that is what the Titans are looking for. I guess I'm thinking more in terms of big, fast, someone who then you have just a really good trio of outside receivers.
And you can put AJ in the slot if you want to.
If you went that route, yeah.
You can put Robert Woods in the slot if you want to.
Yeah, so I just – big, fast, physical is the way I'm looking at it. Now, there is a lot more to it than that, you know, for sure. I mean, but Dotson only ran a 4.43, and Christian Watson ran a 4.36, and that's, as we know, that's the most important thing.
Yes,
in football,
it is
what you ran at the combine.
Ask Juwan Jennings.
Hashtag sarcasm.
Yes.
Yes.
It's got George Pickens falling to 44. Look, I'm heavy on the George Pickens train. I love me some George Pickens. I don't think he's going to end up going in the first round, but whoever grabs him in probably the second round, I think he's going to be a pretty good player at the NFL.
I'm not convinced that he doesn't sneak into the first.
He might.
Because of just that, the fact that, you know, you have to look at, he's 21. He just turned 21.
Yeah.
And he's had the injury, and you can't forget the skill set there. There's an abundance of really intriguing receivers. There are going to be some second and third round who could be instant contributors for teams.
How much Duke UNC talk are we going to hear this week? It's already started yesterday with Duke North Carolina, and then Will Smith slapped Chris Rock, so it stopped. But when's that going to pick back up today? And how much are we going to be tired of Duke UNC by the time the game rolls around on Saturday?
Yeah, pretty tired. I guess I think about these things sometimes from a media perspective. I'm looking forward to our team at The Athletic, but others around ESPN, whoever else, people who cover those teams. I'm looking forward to some creativity in terms of stories leading into. So that, to me, will make it worthwhile if there's a really good story to come out of this, because it's hard. I mean, everything's been written and everything's been said, but now that is the challenge before the media to come up with something interesting to read. So that's how I think of it. But, yes, it'll be nauseating. I'm sure there'll be a lot of – what do we have, get up on here? I'm sure there's going to be some juicy Coach K-related debates.
Sure.
I do like the fact that North Carolina thought they had finally given him the final kiss off, and now they have to face him again with his team playing the best it's played all year. Not that theirs isn't. Yeah. I mean, they're both in the Final Four for a reason.
It's going to be interesting. We talked about this earlier. The Lady Vols, their season comes to an end on Saturday in the Sweet 16. What did you make of that game for the Lady Vols, and what's kind of your quick outlook of their program as they look ahead with Kelly Harper?
You know, they actually could have been right there at the end. Just some, you know, some unforced, and Louisville does, they force errors, but there were some unforced turnovers, and that kind of was a thing all year for Tennessee. So you gotta clean that up. But I thought it was still overall a really encouraging run for Kelly Harper to lose Jordan Horston and adjust the way you have to. I mean, you're talking about leading scorer, rebounder, assister, steals, best just overall defender, all that stuff, and you adjust to get to the Sweet 16. Pretty impressive. Next year's team could be the best Tennessee team since Pat Summitt coached Tennessee. Could be. Now, they've had some really good teams over the years. I mean, Hollywood Warlick had a couple really good teams. But you bring in Rekia Jackson from Mississippi State. You got Jasmine Williams, point guard from Minnesota, who is dynamic. So the portal, paying off.
It's going well.
That's how the portal is a big part of this. But also Justine Passat in the recruiting class, McDonald's All-American, top 10 player nationally. Fantastic shooter, just great player. I think she will come right in and be a big time. Then you have Key coming back inside. You know, you've got obviously Horston back. I mean, it could be an unbelievable team. Great collection of talent. Will it all come together? We don't know. But going into next season, you're talking about a team that should be considered a Final Four contender. And it's been a while, really, since Tennessee had that.
Well, you've already called your shot. 2023 Final Four for Tennessee Lady Vols.
I called it.
Took place last Friday.
The shot has been called.
It has been called.
Yep. By the way, speaking of women's hoops, what's up? You know, we lament Kentucky men's hoops, but what's up with like the complete exodus from Kentucky women's
hoops?
Well,
they ended up losing to Princeton, and then we saw all of these transfers. But I think a big part of it probably is because Ryan Howard is graduating, and then she was a big part of the team, obviously, and they didn't have a big bench. They had a lot of injuries, so I don't know the...
They always have that magical weekend here in Nashville.
It was incredible.
It really was. That win over South Carolina was pretty incredible, especially with Dre Edwards hitting the buzzer beater. And South Carolina is probably going to go on to win this thing. But
I think so, too, probably. NC State-UConn tonight. It's a big one. Yeah, I was stunned Kentucky didn't make a run, and then now they're all leaving. So
yeah,
I guess you're going to have to – I guess it's
bad
all,
march
it's all
for
on you,
both
Cal.
Teams.
It's
yeah.
On
Cal.
Tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. One of the things I love about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel is you can combine props from multiple games and now even multiple sports as well. It's called Same Game Parlay Plus, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Combine NBA player props you love with your favorite NHL scorers for your chance to score an even bigger payout. So maybe you like Roman Josi over on points. That's been pretty good as of late. Kevin Durant over on points as well, but you take it any way you want to take it. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code ROB to get $150 in site credit guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. Make every moment more and download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Just use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.